Now the mother of little Samuel brought him to Eli the priest and said this, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Little Samuel worshiped the Lord. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And I'm looking across the table at my wife and the mother of my three children, Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
So we want to talk about Mothers and Mother's Day. That is coming up this Sunday, May 14th. It's always a big day in our church as we have our parent-baby dedication on that day. We honor the moms, and then we have those parents on the stage with their little ones and as they dedicate themselves and their babies to the Lord. And so as we talk about motherhood today, Debbie, we know that that is not an easy job to be a mom. I think it's the hardest job, especially of little ones. It's the hardest job on the planet.
Yes, and I think it's just the 24/7 of it that makes it so difficult. And, you know, I remember thinking when our girls were little, okay, if they can just get to this next stage, things are going to be easier. And to some extent, that was true, because as they got older, things were less physically draining on us and on me in particular, but they became more emotionally draining. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, there's this element of motherhood that is, it's the 24/7 of it that can just be overwhelming at times.
Well, and moms are, I think just naturally, not true for every single woman who's ever been born, but moms by nature are more nurturing and caring than a dad is. Dads are more the hunter, gatherer, provider, and the moms are more of the build the home and love on the kids and nurture the kids. And so I think, and kids understand their parents very quickly. They understand mom's way different from dad.
Right.
And so with our kids, if they were sick, they always went to you.
Yes.
If they were scared at night, they always went to me. Mm-hmm. And they knew kind of how to navigate that and who was good at what.
Right. And I think also because we had all girls, they just knew how to play you like a cheap fiddle. And they knew they couldn't get by with that with me. And so there was that whole element as well. And you know, since we did not have boys, I don't know the reverse of that, but I do see that to be true in our middle daughter's life because she has sons. And so there's just a different relationship between mom and sons and mom and daughters and dads and sons and dads and daughters. And
there really is. You see, it's the opposite sex thing. And mm-hmm. So dads with their daughters, they're very protective. That's my little princess, whatever she wants. Dads with their sons, hey, we got to toughen you up, boy.
Yeah, you got to be, we got to teach you to be a man.
And moms with their daughters, they can't be manipulated because the mom sees through that. It's like, I know exactly what you're doing.
Cause read you like a cheap dime novel.
I speak estrogen too, you know.
Right.
And but moms with their sons, oh, that's my little boy. And there's just this connection. So,
and I think about that even with your mom. I mean, your mom's going to be 95 this year, and she's still, when she talks about you, her little face changes, and oh, Jeffrey, my little boy. I mean, she still kind of sees you that way,
yeah.
You know, to a large extent.
Well, it's so funny to see Amy, our middle daughter, with her two boys. Mm-hmm. So Jack will be 2 in July, mm-hmm. 7/14/21. That's how I remember his birthday. It's easy to remember. And then Chase is two and a half months. 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack plays Amy. He manipulates Amy. She just can't stand the tears and does. And when we were over there just a few weeks ago, it'd be like, Jack, that's not going to work with me. You're going to have to cut that out.
Right.
And I love little Jack to death, but I'm not going to put up with his
shenanigans.
His manipulation doesn't work. So, Debbie, as we think about motherhood, We know that Mother's Day can be a difficult day for a lot of women. Some women don't even come to church on Mother's Day because they know we're going to be honoring mom.
Yeah, it's just too difficult. I mean, I just think about people, maybe moms who have lost children or children who have lost moms just recently, are those women that so long to have a child, and excuse me, for some reason, you know, in God's providence, he just has not seen fit to open their womb as of yet. And it can be a really, really difficult day. And I just think, you know, we need to be very gracious to those ladies. We need to extend a lot of grace to them, because it can really be a really, really hard day. Or even if you are a mom that you have a prodigal, or you're estranged from one of your kids, that can be a very difficult day as well.
Or if you were an absentee mom.
Right.
You know, we hear a lot about absentee dads, and it tends to be much more the norm as absentee dads versus absentee moms. But there are some instances where a mom is absentee, or a mom was on drugs and lost her kids.
Right.
And that can be very, very painful when that woman, you know, leaves the pigsty and comes to her senses and comes to the Lord and knows, hey, I lost those years with my child, and now my child doesn't trust me, and it's just a lot of pain and hurt.
Right. I do think, though, in those instances, and I have said this so many times when I've spoken to a group of women, particularly when we talk about being a mom, and that is, as long as there is breath in your lungs and breath in your child's lungs, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. It's not too late to mend that relationship, to build a bridge, to be the mom that you need to be. And kids want to love their moms and their dads. That's innate within them. And so I would say most kids are winnable, regardless of their age. Most are winnable. And it may not ever be exactly the level and depth of relationship that you long to have, but God is faithful to restore. And he can do miraculous things.
Well, we had on the program yesterday, big treat for me, heavyweight champion George Foreman. And we talked about his movie called Big George Foreman. And his mother in the movie, as George and I brought this out, she was portrayed so well. And what a woman of faith, a woman who was strong, a woman who was hardworking, a woman who loved her son deeply, but didn't let him get away with stuff either. So she was the disciplinarian. She was everything. His dad wasn't in the picture. And you can see why so many families that where dad wasn't there and mom really stepped up, the bond between sons and their moms is so strong because of that.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about it because I had read this quote somewhere, and I don't remember what the source was, but it said this, that children come into this world with one primary need, and that is to be able to figure out how life works. And so moms in particular, it's our job to help them with that, to help them figure out how life works. And you know, in our home, we know, and we knew back then, and we know to this day, that life works best when you do things God's way. And so it's so important to teach your children the things of the Lord and to base your home on biblical principles, because that is indeed how life works best. And I do think, especially for those single moms, man, you were not designed by God to play both the role of mom and the role of dad. And it can be an overwhelming task. And you can get attacked by the enemy constantly that you're not doing enough, that you're harming your children, whatever other lies that he happens to pop into your individual mind. But it is so important that we do keep God at the center regardless of our circumstance, because as a single mom, God's the one that's going to empower you and strengthen you to be able to do your job that was really designed for two people. He's going to give you the ability to do that, you know, and And it's just so important that we do that. Children need to know how life works, and it works best God's way.
Well, and that's the importance, especially for single moms, the importance of church.
Right.
To where you can have a community, you can have support, and you can have some godly male figures that will enter into your kids' lives, especially your sons, so they can see what a godly man is supposed to be. That's critical. If you do it all on your own, as our friend John Finch, who did The Father Effect, his mother raised him because his dad committed suicide when John was young. He said, well, mom did a great job, but she can't be dad because she's not dad.
Right.
She's a mom. And so I think the women that take on that responsibility and that burden to be dad too, you can never really do that. So you need help with that. An uncle, a grandfather, or their own father that can come in as the grandfather and be a fatherly figure, or somebody at church that can do that. But you know, when I think about the love that women have, mothers have for their children, the Lord plays on that in Isaiah 49. He says, it says this, verse 14, but Zion said, Zion, another name for Israel, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. And God's answer, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? I mean, that's just built in. But then he says this, even these may forget, as rare as that might be, even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. And so the Lord uses the natural love that a woman has for her nursing child, the compassion that she has on her children, on the son of her womb, to say, hey, mine's even more than that, and I will never forget you. I think about when little Chase, at what, 2 weeks old, had to go to the hospital?
1 week.
He was 1 week old.
7 days.
And Sarah had flown from Little Rock to Houston.
Just so happened to have flown to to Houston.
And here's this little guy with a fever, and then he spends the weekend in the hospital, and boy, Amy was
distraught.
Yes, she was.
Well, there's something about the love of a mom for her kids that is different than any other kind of love. It's very, very fierce. It's very protective. It's a level of passion that you did not really understand prior to having your kids.
Right.
And it's just different because you love your children differently than you love your own parents. You love them differently than you love your spouse. It's just a different kind of love. And there's just this fierceness about it that you go to the ends of the earth. You do whatever you need to do to protect, to care for, to provide for. You just do all of those things. And it just wells up within you with such intensity. And I remember feeling that fairly early. I had a harder time with our first one, really not necessarily bonding, but I just didn't know what to do. I had never been around kids. I had never babysat. I mean, I had to ask the nurse how to change a diaper because I didn't know how to do anything. So I can remember after Jill was born, I had fed her, I changed her diaper, and I was like, well, what do I do with her now? I mean, I don't know what to do with her, you know? And so it took me several days
to
really kick in. Mm-hmm. But now with subsequent kids, it kicked in pretty much instantly. And just the fierceness and the protectiveness that I felt, you know, I can remember them coming in and having to do some blood test. I forget what it was called, but like they had to squeeze their heel and get drops of blood. And I remember thinking, if you squeeze that heel one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face, you know, because they were just screaming. It was horrible.
Yeah. So the Bible talks about that, a bear robbed of her cubs.
Right.
That is used three times in Scripture. And the Lord says in Hosea 13, I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chests. There I will also devour them like a lioness, as a wild beast would tear them. There is that natural protective instinct that a mother has for her children. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I'm sitting here with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about Mother's Day and moms and the really difficult job, but the wonderful job that God has given mothers. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fold because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
From the Sermon on the Mount to the feeding of 5,000, Jesus drew in crowds and mystified many of his religious contemporaries. But how did his disciples grapple with it? And how do we? I'm Charles Morris. Join me all week on a series coming out of The Chosen called Signs and Sermons of Jesus.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is this Sunday, May 14th. And it's a day to celebrate mom. And so, Debbie, you were saying at the break, one of the things that you learned when we had our first child, Jill, in 1987, way back when.
Back in the day, yes. I can't believe it was that long ago.
You learned some valuable lessons.
I did. It really opened my eyes up, number one, to how much my mom loved me. You know, and how much my mom and dad both loved me, and then how much God loved me. Because it just, there's something about having your child that just opens your heart. So it opens your heart so much. And I remember Jill had, I think her firstborn, which her name is Emmy, just a beautiful, beautiful girl, always has been. But she was really little, and Jill had come back over to the house one day, and Amy and Sarah were both in the kitchen, as was I. And Jill said something like this, and I'm not going to have it exactly right, but it was like, "You have no idea what all mom has done for you. You have no idea." And I remember just thinking, oh, okay, so your eyes have been opened a little bit, you know, because there's something about having your own children, knowing the level of work and responsibility that it is, but also the love and the joy that it brings. And it really opens your eyes to that.
Well, and you are reminded that, you know, no matter what that child does, that child is always yours.
Right.
And you always love that child. You can be wounded by the child. You can be heartbroken. But even if your child ends up being a mass murderer, still your child, you still love that son or that daughter. And then it reminds you, okay, because we're quick to say, well, God has kicked me out of the family. I've sinned so badly. God doesn't love me anymore. You know, the devil really plays on our emotions there. And that's such a slam against the character of God, because my girls know, no matter what they ever did, Dad would never stop loving them, and
right.
neither would Mom, and we would still be there for them. Now, we're not going to enable them to be, you know, wayward or anything like that, but our love for them never fails, and our support for them as human beings and as our kids would never fail. So how much more is God's love for us and God's faithfulness to us? And, you know, what shall separate me from the love of God, Paul says in Romans 8. And the answer is nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing can separate us from his love. He loves us with an everlasting love.
You know, and I was thinking this morning about, because I had just gotten some Mother's Day cards ready. Now, my mother is deceased. She has been gone, I think it was 29 years in April that mm-hmm. she's been gone, 28 or 29. I can't remember. It's a long time. You know, we're getting close to three decades that she's been gone. Anyway, because I'm an only child, that the death of my parents was very, very difficult for me, because it left me feeling so orphaned, because I didn't have any siblings. And I remember I was thinking this morning as I was finishing up getting these cards ready to mail, that God has always been so gracious to bring mother figures into my life, other women mm-hmm. who have filled that role of mother in my life. And truth be told, one of these in particular filled that role in my life even when my mom was still alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was just like a second mom to me. And I think about that in terms of just living my life, like I can be that to other women, mm-hmm. And I can be that to other young men who have lost their moms, or who don't maybe have a good close relationship with their mother. And so there's always, just within each woman, God has this nurturing element that he has placed in us, and he doesn't waste that. Mm-hmm. So if our eyes are open and we are in relationship and in community with people, he is going to bring people into our path that we can still nurture. Whether we have natural children of our own or not, we can still be a nurturer, and we can still play a vital role in someone else's life in terms of just developing character in them, loving them, leading them to the Lord, training them up, all of those things that we would see as responsibilities for our biological children. We can still do that in the lives of other people.
Yeah, and the scripture says that the older women are to help the younger women, and they're further down the road, they've raised their children, they know the pitfalls, they know the difficulties, because raising little kids is exhausting, and it can be thankless, and it can be it can be depressing and just discouraging, and you just feel, I remember at mealtime, when our
goodness.
Kids were little,
yes.
Most of the time you didn't really eat, because it was just like...
It was chaos. Yeah. Chaos central. Yes.
And it's just difficult. And so I remember times when I wouldn't be feeling well. This was when I worked in the chemical business. And you'd say, good, you can stay home and help me with the kids. And be like, ooh, that's a tough deal. I think I'm going to suck it up and go to work.
Right.
Because it's just hard. It is so important. It's so valuable. You know, I think about when Nehemiah, they were trying to get him off the wall, and he said, I'm doing a great work. Why should I come down off the wall? And I remember preaching that sermon in Nehemiah chapter 6, I believe it is. And I was speaking to the crowd. This was at Champion Forest. And I said, you stay at home moms, you're doing a great work, and you need to remember that. And I remember this one girl, came up to me, this one young mom, and, you know, tears in her eyes, that, you know, it's like, I needed to hear that.
Right.
Because it's easy to think, what am I doing with my life? And everything in society, hey, you have a college degree, you need to just put your kids in daycare and go, you know, pursue your career. And in some ways, that's easier, and then in other ways you're just so torn
right.
that it's worse.
Right.
And whatever amount of money you make, you feel like I need to be with my child and I'm not with my child, and so it's just a lose-lose.
It really is. And I was thinking back to something that you said, Jeff, about, you know, there's not a lot of thank yous, and they're thank yous long term, but in the short term there's not. You know, there's your 18-month-old isn't telling you, wow, thanks so much for changing my dirty diaper. Thanks for changing that blowout, you know. Hey, thanks for feeding me, even though I threw a lot of it on the ground. It was fun for me to throw it on the ground. Thanks so much, Mommy. You know, you just don't get that. But when you are faithful to raise your children based on godly principles and let Him be the foundation of your home, you get that back in spades as your children get older. Mm-hmm. And it's really a job that you have got to take the long look. Parenting is not short term. You just cannot look at it hour to hour, day to day, although there's some days where that's the only way you can get through it. But I'm talking in general, overall. Yeah. You have to take the long look and think, okay, even though this is hard right now, long term, this is the best course of action for me to take right now, because I'm taking the long look, not the short look here.
Well, and just to know too that the Lord will give you strength to do what He's called you to do, and that is to raise those kids. And so when you and I got married, we had the understanding we wanted children. I don't know if we ever decided on a number.
We kind of had talked about four.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were going to have you stay home, mm-hmm. regardless of what that, and when you resigned your teaching job, mm-hmm. we lost half our income, and I was commission sales, and so it was a trusting God endeavor for sure, but we wanted that. I just said before we ever got married, if I have to live in a small apartment, I want us to raise our kids, and that was just a conviction I have. Other people have other convictions, but that was one that I had, and you had that too. Mm-hmm. We didn't ever fight about that. Mm-hmm. You wanted to stay home and raise the kids, even though it was tough. And one of the things that helped us, the Mother's Day Out programs,
ooh,
and
yes.
the Mother of Preschool programs, and the things that churches have to help young moms, those are critical.
Right. Like, I know our church has a group that meets twice a month for moms of young children. And I was always involved in a Bible study. And I wish I could say that it was, you know, just this depth of love for the Lord that led me to be in these Bible studies. But at a young age, that my main thing was I just needed a break from those kids, you know.
Right.
And God used that, because I set that up as a discipline in my life, and I have never deviated from that. But boy, it was wonderful just for that one day a week, that one morning a week. It's like, okay, I'm going to my Bible study. I'm with other ladies. I'm with ladies that are older, ladies that are my same age. We're spending time in God's Word. We're worshiping. And I'm getting a break from these children. And it's amazing, once you have a little bit of a break, how much you're reminded of how desperately you love them.
Right.
You know, because when you drop them off, you can think, oh, you're alive, man, I've done my job. But then you go pick them up and you're like, oh, my goodness, I just missed you so much. I love you so much.
Right.
You know, so there's just power there.
If there's too much togetherness, everybody needs a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why husbands and wives, when they work together and they're just always together, that can be a difficult thing. COVID, when it brought everybody together and there was not like any break and it was just kind of 24/7 together, that could create a lot of difficulties. And so we do well when there's a little bit of break in there. Just like you don't work 7 days a week. The Lord says, hey, you need to have a break. One day a week, you're going to have a time of rest, because we all need that.
Well, I was thinking too, in this current culture in which we live, and not that this has not always been important, but it's of paramount importance in today's world, is to help our kids understand their identity and who they are. You know, decades ago, we would have never had this question come up of, am I a boy or am I a girl? That's
just insane.
Would not have happened. But in our culture today, that is a question that's coming up. And we have got to be able to help our children see that they're designed by God was not an accident. It was planned before the foundations of the earth, that they are not, their gender is not a mistake. I mean, we've got to be able to really help our kids walk through this crazy culture in which we live. And we have an input into their lives that no one else has. Our input into their lives is so distinctly different than other people's. And so it's so important, because our kids need to, you know, they wonder, hey, am I loved? Am I unloved? Am I a boy? Am I a girl? Am I a good person? Am I a bad person? Am I valuable? Am I worthless? There's just all these different things that are vying for the attention of their minds. Mm-hmm. And as parents, and particularly as moms, because in those formative years, most of the time we do spend more time with them than dads do, not in every situation, but in most. And it's so imperative that we implant the truth into their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just like you'd be very careful, and you are very careful what your child eats. You're not going to let them eat something that was poison. Mm-hmm. You know, the thermometers, the mercury in thermometers. Jill got that in
Sarah.
Her. Sarah did. Mm-hmm. You know, very concerned. You know, call poison control. We had Ipecac to help them throw up if they ate something bad. Well, the same thing with a child's mind. You got to protect their minds so that you're not letting poison get into their minds. And just having them watch TV today, which was one of the horrible things that has happened, is all this woke ideology and transgender confusion, all that stuff is making its way into kids' programming, mm-hmm. and messing kids up. I saw today on the news about Target has transgender clothing in their stores. And it's like, how ridiculous is this? You know, it is not complicated. Mm-hmm. You are born into this world, XY male, or XX female, and you cannot change that. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want to carve yourself up, but it's not going to change it. At the end of the day, you're still XY male or XX female. As we lovingly told somebody at our church who was saying, hey, I think I'm going to be a man. Chris Schroeder told us, this lady, he said, listen, you're never going to be a man. You can't be a man. You're not a man. Mm-hmm. You're a woman trying to pretend to be a man. You'll never be accepted by men because you're not one.
Right.
And so if you think you're a fish out of water as a female, then try and be a male, because you'll never fit in that world.
Well, I think the enemy is so all over this issue. And I think there are those who the struggle is so intense, you know, so they are battling those feelings, and they have them, and the enemy has just deceived them in such a great way. And it's our responsibility as believers to love them through that, and to help open their eyes to truth, to love them, to pray for them, to have grace for them, but to not enter into that vortex of dysfunction with them, which is a difficult road to hoe, right? But it is our responsibility to do that. And I think about that. I think about those parents, and maybe there's some listening today that, man, your child is struggling with that, and it is a very difficult task to love them through it, but not in any way celebrate or condone the issue, but to recognize, hey, this is a struggle for you. I can see that this is difficult, and I can appreciate that sin has gotten into your heart and into your mind in such a way that this is a real struggle, but that doesn't mean it's right.
No. Well, I think if you look at the transgender issue like you'd look at anorexia, it's the same kind of thing. It's a disease of the mind, and an anorexic person, hey, I think I'm too fat. I need to lose weight. Well, as a parent, you would say, listen, you're not seeing this situation from a healthy perspective. You don't need to lose weight. You need to get a better perspective on this. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. And we'll be taking your calls when we come back from the break, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you as we are celebrating moms today, getting ready for Mother's Day on Sunday. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us. Here's Ellis Kraft of Reach a Village Ministries.
A few months ago, a student in a village school attempted to end his life. Two other students that were in a discipleship group helped prevent the tragedy. These two students befriended him and shared the hope of Jesus. When the news reached the principal, the Lord opened her eyes and heart. Instead of wanting to shut down discipleship groups, the principal requested every classroom have access to a disciple maker. This is just one example of how God is using ministry partners with Reach a Village. Your gift today will be doubled. $50 will reach 100 children. $500 would reach 1,000 children. To give, I want you to go to reachavillage.org or call 833-773-2247. Again, to call Reach a Village and talk to our staff, that's 833-7-REACH-7.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie, as we talk about Mother's Day this Sunday, as we talk about motherhood. And Debbie, you said at the break you have a funny little poem about older moms.
Well, no, it's a poem about, and the whole crux of it is that if we live long enough, we kind of get even with our kids, everything. But it says this, and I just think it's so cute. When I'm an old lady, I'll live with each kid and bring so much happiness just as they did. I'll want to pay back all the joy they've provided, returning each deed. Oh, they'll be so excited when I'm an old lady and live with my kids. I'll write on the walls with red, whites, and blues and bounce on the furniture wearing my shoes. I'll drink from the carton and then leave it out. I'll stuff all the toilets and oh, how they'll shout when I'm an old lady and live with my kids. When they're on the phone and just out of reach, I'll get into things like sugar and bleach. Oh, they'll snap their fingers and then shake their head. And when it's all done, I'll hide under the bed when I'm an old lady and live with my kids. When they cook dinner and call me to eat, I'll not eat my green beans or salad or meat. I'll gag on my okra, spill milk milk on the table. And when they get angry, I'll run if I'm able, when I'm an old lady and live with my kids. I'll sit close to the TV, through the channels I'll click. I'll cross both my eyes just to see if they stick. I'll take off my socks and throw one away. I'll play in the mud till the end of the day, when I'm an old lady and live with my kids. And later in bed, I'll lay back and sigh. I'll thank God in prayer and then close my eyes. My kids will look down with a smile slowly creeping and say with a groan, "Oh, she's so sweet when she's sleeping," when I'm an old lady and live with my kids.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? And yeah, it's just true.
That's what kids do.
That's what kids do.
They're kids.
They're kids.
So,
and you want them to be kids.
Right.
You don't want them to be 3-year-old and be an adult. You want them to be kids.
Yeah, they have to enjoy life and hopefully not learn too many things through the School of Hard Knocks, but they're going to learn a lot of things.
Sure.
Our little grandson, Jack, we tell Amy and Travis, this kid's going to have stitches and broken bones and he's just all boy.
He's just a rough and tumble boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the way it goes. Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or a comment about moms, we would love to take your call. And so we have Brent on the line from Tennessee. Brent, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Brent, oh, he was there and now he's not there. All right, let's go to Naomi in Pennsylvania. Naomi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, hi, Pastor Jeff, and I will have an encouragement word for Debbie, and my encouragement word is to let her know that it's amazing to hear, you know, a mom like her speaking about a stay, you know, home mom, which is one of the best words that the Lord has given to us as a mother, because the world rejected a career, money, possession, houses, to be a big star or to have this and to have that. And in the end, nothing matters because you are not going to take it with you. But the best reward is the, like in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And I praise you, Debbie, because that is an amazing and a beautiful thing that you did. A stay home mom, just like this. did that too.
Thank you so much.
The Lord the Lord gave me a husband, just like he gave you an incredible husband to let you stay home mom. That's the best job that you ever, and any woman can have.
Amen. That is so true. Thank you, Naomi. I love getting calls from you, and I love just to hear you talk. You have a wonderful accent and a wonderful way of expressing things. So God bless you, and thank you for sharing that with Debbie and just that encouragement. So God bless you, and I'll give you a happy Mother's Day, even though it's not Mother's Day yet, just Mother's Day to come. So God bless you. Well, Debbie, this is what the scripture says, 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." And then it talks about how older women, he says, "I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, and let the older women teach the younger women and teach them how to do this thing called motherhood." Because as you said, it doesn't just innately kick in. You need some help, and you need some people that have been down the road that can say, "Okay, do it this way. Don't do it that way." And as we talked about, things change so much. So the doctors will tell you, when we had kids, always put your kid on their stomach. Put your babies on their stomach to sleep. Never on their back.
Yeah, because they could vomit, aspirate, you know, blah blah. Yeah.
And now, totally flipped.
Yeah, never put your baby on their back to sleep. Never, ever, ever. Yeah, and so it's just a totally different ball game than it was.
Well, here's the verse I was looking for, Titus chapter 2. "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. So it talks about being a worker at home. And I've shared this before. We have that expression, a man's home is his castle. But that's really not true, because a woman is just naturally inclined toward the home and making it beautiful, and that's just kind of in her DNA from the Lord. A man is, we're not as interested in that. Oh, I enjoy our home being beautiful, mm-hmm. but if it were up to me...
Just white walls.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think about it. And
right.
you're such a decorator, and we had the guys that came into our home because our washer and dryer went out, and we had to get a new one. And immediately, the guy delivering it said, I love your home, because it's just you know, the way you have it decorated. When Kirk Cameron came over for dinner that time, man, what a beautiful home, because on the inside... It just looks so livable, so homey, so comfortable.
Well, I'm switching gears on you just a little, because I read that Titus verse one more time.
Okay, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored.
I was thinking that as you were reading that verse, that, you know, in order for us to fulfill that verse as women, we have to be involved in the lives of other people. So we can't do it from a distance necessarily. Now, if you're not able to physically be with someone, you can most assuredly do that through writing a letter, through praying for them, or those kind of things. But I mean, to be involved in the life of other people is at the heart of teaching and training. You have to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to live your life in such a way that you represent the things that you are trying to teach and to share with those around you. You know, if I weigh 500 pounds, chances are I'm not going to be able to teach on what a diet program looks like, right?
Right.
And so I have to be able to be living the things that I'm teaching for those things to really be received. And I think so often and especially in our culture today, because we have so many things readily available, we can look to other things to provide those things with us being able to maybe take a back seat. And I think that's what the Lord desires of us, is to not take a back seat in the raising of our kids, but to be involved with them, and that they know we're involved in their lives. Now, as they get older, that involvement changes, because our role changes. You know, we go from being an overseer to being a manager to being a consultant. So our job changes, our involvement level changes as mm-hmm. our children get older. But it's important for them to know that we are involved and engaged in their lives.
Well, and you know, we talk about shine and share, and we use those two words because that encapsulates the Christian life. And your kids are looking at you, and so if there's not any shine there, if you're not living out the Christian life, it's hard for them to say when you tell them about it, they're like, well, you don't do that. So here's great parenting advice. Be the person you want your child to become.
Right.
So if you want your child to be an honest, hardworking person, you need to be an honest, hardworking person. Be the example for your kids. And Debbie, that poem I like so much, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you'd go with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. And so our kids are watching us. And I still remember an illustration that Pastor DeMond Shook used. And he talked about how kids like to put on their parents' shoes when they're little. Jack had on Travis's shoes and Travis's shirt the other day. And so they put on the shoes, and so they're going to walk, you know, in the shoes of mom and dad. And so that's a great reminder that kids will follow what they see, and not so much what they hear. And it's really reinforced in what they see and hear are the same message.
Right.
So I tell you to be honest, I'm honest. I tell you to be hardworking, I'm hardworking. I tell you to make things right when you wrong somebody, I do that too. I love that with George Foreman. He talked about when he got saved, he went and apologized to all the people he had wronged. And they show in the movie that he apologizes to Muhammad Ali, and he apologizes to his first wife because he wronged her as he was unfaithful to her. And he made things right. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Sometimes people won't forgive you, and that's on them. But we have to seek forgiveness. We have to make things right. And parents, especially dads, you have to do that with your kids. When you blow up and fly off the handle and discipline them in anger or overreact to a situation because they spilled the milk at the dinner table, you need to make things right with your child and say, Dad blew it. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. That goes a long, long way in restoring the relationship with your child, because you can wound a child if you consistently discipline in anger and you never make things right.
I was thinking when you were talking about, you know, being the person that you want your child to become, and you know, to the best of our ability, I feel that we did that, and our kids saw consistency in our lives. They saw that we did apologize when we blew it. They did see those things witnessed in front of them, but I still think back, and this is still occurring today, at how many times we could say something to our kids and they're like, mm-hmm. Someone else says the exact same thing to them, and it's like all of a sudden this aha moment, right?
Yeah.
And so there's just such importance of having community, and for that very reason, because your kids, even as adults, they need other godly mentor people in their life that can speak truth into their life. And because they receive it differently from an outside source than they do from mom and dad. They just do. Mm-hmm. And how important it is, you know, I think about that just for you and I personally, that we are that voice into the lives of other young moms and dads and other mm-hmm. young people. And I think of just different ones that have been engaged in the life of all three of our daughters and how they have spoken truth into their lives. And we may have said the same thing multiple times, but all of a sudden when that other person spoke truth, God used that person to give our kids enlightenment into the truth of his word.
Well, as we get ready to close out, I just want to encourage you, Mother's Day is Sunday, and let your mom know in a special way. You know, we give gifts and things like that. Those are wonderful things, but
yes, they are.
But let your mom know, and the mother of your children, because both of those are critical. I remember Fred Adam, when we were in their Sunday school, Fred and Lynette's Sunday school class. First Mother's Day, as she was the mother of their daughter, mm-hmm. and Fred didn't get her a Mother's Day gift, and he said, "Well, why should I? You're not my mother," and he didn't realize. Hey,
silly man.
If you're the mother of my children, you get a Mother's Day gift. And, you know, whether you're buying it for your child or you're just from your husband who appreciates you. But let your mom know, let your wife know, the mother of your children, how much you appreciate them and how special and precious and wonderful they are. Build them up and don't tear them down. They need your encouragement. And guys, if you have a wife who's taking care of your little kids, she needs tons of encouragement and tons of support. And that goes a long way.
And moms, I just want to encourage you, if you're in the trenches, you're doing a great work. You're doing a great work, and your children will rise up and call you blessed. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and be encouraged and be faithful.
Amen. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Such a joy to be able to visit with you every morning. And thank you for listening. Debbie, thank you for coming on today. Now, we always close out the broadcast. Encourage you to shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And as you open your mouth and shine and share, God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.